Concern over Russian hacking and attempts to disrupt or tilt the U.S. presidential election has revealed a rift among some Republican elected officials here. Senator John McCain favors a deeper look by Congress at just what Russia was trying to do and whether Vladimir Putin, whom McCain has labeled a thug, was directly involved. On the other hand, West Valley Congressman Trent Franks told MSNBC, quote, "The bottom line is if they succeeded, if Russia succeeded in giving the American people information that was accurate, then they merely did what the media should have done," end quote. Franks also says the effort to blame Russia is an attempt by some Democrats to delegitimize Donald Trump's victory. To try to interpret what's going on, we're joined by Robert Levgold, emeritus professor at Columbia University. He specializes in international relations of post-Soviet states. Professor, what does this contrast among GOP elected officials say to you?
There clearly are some divisions, but I think those that would take Congressman Frank's position, or probably even President-elect Trump's, if that turns out to be favorable to Russia, would be in a very, very distinct minority. My view of the way in which Senator McCain and Congressman Frank's play out in the context of the Congress is the Congress itself is a kind of calcified bone at this point. And Senator McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham are essentially hardeners of that in a very firm, hardline, hawkish view of Russia. That's not new. That precedes the Ukrainian crisis. In the case of Senator McCain, it goes well back more than a decade ago when he was pushing to exclude Russia from the G8 at a time when it still was in the G8. That kind of anti-Russian consensus, what I call this calcified bone, characterizes the Congress in general, both Senate and House. But there are soft spots in the calcified bone. There are outliers. Congressman Frank would be in that category. Most strongly is the very conservative congressman from California, but for long has been more sympathetic with the Russian side in troubled U.S.-Russia relations than he has been with the U.S. side. That's Dana Rohrabach. They, however, as I said, are very much the outliers.
If Rex Tillerson is in fact approved as Secretary of State, he has had close business relationship with Russia, but he also said recently that he says NATO is still a strong part of what the U.S. should be involved in contrast to what Donald Trump has said. Is Rex Tillerson someone, the approach that he has, one that could in fact be compatible to some extent with a John McCain and actually be more on that side as opposed to with his own president who appointed him?
I think rather than being more on Senator McCain's side, he'll be, if that position is developed, keep our powder dry, but at the same time try to do deals with Russia, try to cooperate, try to engage. He'll be midpoint between, say, National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and President-elect Trump and Senator McCain on the other side. That might be a healthy development. I think a lot of the public attention to the Tillerson appointment, that is that he's too soft on Russia or that he may even be in bed with the Russians because of the energy deals that he's cut in the past, I think that's wrong. My guess is that he would be potentially quite effective, notwithstanding the lack of genuine diplomatic experience in dealing with Russia in this context. But that will be just one floating cork in these turbulent waters, and it's very difficult to know what a Tillerson as Secretary of State or even Donald Trump as president can do to change what I've described as a ruined relationship.
The Senate hearings on Russian involvement or intervention or hacking or whatever however we want to label that, going on today, what sort of outcome, I wonder, would you be looking for? Is this more of the Senate flexing its muscles and saying, listen, Russia, we know what you did. We want to dig more into it. And ultimately, it doesn't necessarily affect much. It just increases that calcification you talked about. Or could there be something more productive that comes out of this?
What was the effect? Did the Russian hacking, if the motive was to influence the election, actually influence? Did it have an effect on the outcome? And there, I think the Obama administration, most of the Congress, and certainly the incoming Trump administration will argue no, it didn't have that kind of an effect. So then you're back to this question, how do you deal with it? The fact that they even tried is going to be a major issue within the Congress. Already there's talk about stiffening or creating sanctions to deal with this. At the same time, Senator Graham and on the Democratic side, Dick Durbin, are introducing legislation to toughen the sanctions on Ukraine and Syria. And that certainly is not going to make it easier for Tillerson or the president-elect to re-engage Russia and begin moving in another direction. Even though the Russians are, as we see already in Putin's initial reaction, likely to hold off in retaliating if sanctions are increased, in the hope that these other elements, President-elect Trump, Secretary of State Tillerson, if confirmed, will make some progress in turning things around. So I would expect restraint on the Russian part, but the general impact of increased sanctions in this context will further add to the burden on this very troubled relationship.
Robert Levgold is an emeritus professor at Columbia University who specializes in international relations of post-Soviet states.
These days,